There is no better way than God's way. There is no wiser walk than a walk in the wisdom of Almighty God. There is no greater blessing that can come your way than the blessing that is the result of your obedience to Him.
Next on In Touch, are you getting in God's way?
When I first began in the ministry, I went to a small church in the mountains of North Carolina to be pastor of that church and to teach in the Bible Institute there. And it was a small community, so, you know, I believed that my responsibility was to win people to Jesus and to disciple them, and so that's what I set out to do. So the first thing I figured I needed to do is to find out who's in that community. So my wife and I drove down every single road in that mountain community, and we indicated where every single house was. We put one of those red pins in each place, and then we drove around for some time till we found out who lived and how many people are in that household, in that family, until we knew exactly who was in that community. So I thought my responsibility is to win all these people to Jesus. And so I found out that everybody there wasn't exactly as interested in my winning them as I was to win them. But that's okay. And I remember meeting this gentleman in his chicken yard one day, and I'd heard that he was sort of one of those hard nuts to crack, they used to say up there. And that I remember sitting there, I knelt in the chicken lot carefully. And I began to talk to him about the Lord and so forth, and he said to me, you know, I don't need you, and when I need you, I'll call you. That was his way of telling me, so long, buddy. But I say all that to say this, that sometimes we get in God's way. And we can get in God's way in other people's lives. We can get in God's way in our own life. And all of us would have to admit there have been times in our life when we just thought for sure we were doing the right thing and began to realize that maybe it wasn't true. So I want to illustrate this in the life of the Apostle Peter. And then I want to give you a list of reasons why I believe that we get in God's way. So I want us to turn, if you will, to the 16th chapter of Matthew. And it's a perfect example of what we're talking about here. The 16th chapter, beginning in verse 13, it's a pivotal point in the life of Jesus and his relationship to his disciples. So he begins in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples this question. Who do people say, watch this, who do people say that the Son of Man is? That is, who are these people, who do they think I am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now Jesus is asking two major issues here. That's one. He says, I want to be sure you know who I am. Here's what the people are saying. They think I'm a prophet. And they say, who do you say that I am? And Peter had the right answer. He said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You didn't just come up with this. God has revealed this to you. But my Father who is in heaven, he's the one who's revealed it. So I also say to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. That does not mean that Jesus was building his church upon Peter. Because look what a mess Peter was. He didn't build his church on that. He built his church on the truth of who he was. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. So that seems to be strange. Now, I don't want you going out telling everybody who I am. But listen what happened. From that time, because Jesus had a schedule, a time plan also. From that time forth, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And what happened? Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You're acting like the devil. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest but man's. And so here is Peter getting in God's way. Now watch what's happening. Jesus' first goal here was to be sure they knew who he was. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Very important that they knew who Jesus was. Equally as important that they knew why what was going to happen to him was going to happen. And that is, God's whole eternal plan of salvation was linked to his death, his crucifixion. Now, watch what they didn't get. When Jesus said this, the scripture says, watch what Jesus said. He said, I'll suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. That was it. And be killed. And here's what they didn't hear. And be raised on the third day. Peter didn't hear that part. When he heard killed, and that word is used for murder, I'm going to be murdered by Pharisees and Sadducees and so forth. I'm going to be murdered. And then Jesus said, but I'm going to be raised on the third day. He didn't even hear that. Now watch this. Sometimes we get in God's way because we don't get the whole story. And so Peter, in his being so impetuous, he just decided, you're not going to be killed, and I'm going to see to that. And he was very sincere, because in the garden when they came after Jesus, who is it that pulled a sword? Peter. He was willing to do it by himself if necessary. Remember, he cut off this guy's ear. But he didn't understand God's plan. Watch this. The will of God oftentimes is not explainable. The will of God oftentimes is not reasonable. The will of God, for example, is sometimes mysterious, because his plan is greater than our plan. His plan is a heavenly plan. His plan is a perfect plan. Everything about his plan is perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that there will not be suffering and hurt and sometime loss. And sometime even loss of life can be included in God's plan. And so what I want you to see is that Peter is a good example of how we get in the way of what God is up to in other people's lives. In other words, it didn't seem reasonable that, look, he could have said, wait a minute, you're going to be killed. We left our fishing boats and we left our whole occupation for you. We've been following you faithfully. We've stood up for you. And now you're telling us that you're going to be murdered by this crowd, that we can't stand in the way. And Jesus had to rebuke him. And the interesting thing is that this was so harsh, the scripture says that Peter took him aside and just scolded Jesus. But remember what Jesus said. He said, you know what? You're acting like the devil. You're acting like Satan. So sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we are trying to change somebody, get in the middle of their life, when it's not the will of God. And what we naturally, reasonably think is surely the wisest thing to do is not the wisest thing to do. And I think there are many parents who hesitate, and I can certainly understand that in the day in which we live, hesitate their children going to the mission field. What? It's so unsafe. It was unsafe for Jesus. Many things are unsafe. Many things are unprofitable. Many things are oftentimes unfriendly. And oftentimes loss is possible. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what's the will of God? The will of God is always the best way. Always the best way. And sometimes we make a mistake getting in God's way because we don't know the whole story. We don't hear the whole story. Oftentimes we watch people's actions, but we don't listen to their heart. We don't know why they're doing what they're doing. A second thing I think is important here is to realize, and that's this. We fail to see the cause of hurt as a tool of God to accomplish something in our life. Now, we think that, for example, the Christian life ought to be sort of easy, not perfectly easy, but sort of easy. Shouldn't be too much suffering and hurt and so forth going on. And, you know, I've talked to two different people this week who are going through terribly difficult circumstances in their life. And yet, as I listen to them talk, about their pain and so forth, because they happen to be two godly people, and then hear them say, but I know that God is doing something great in my life. You see, we have to be careful that we don't try to change God's plan. And since God is the one who is orchestrating what's going on in that person's life, He knows what it's going to take to make them the person He wants them to be. He knows what it's going to take to equip them to be able to serve Him the way He wants them to serve Him. And, you know, there was a gentleman who used to pray for me every single day, and he would call me every day and ask me what to pray for. And I used to say to God, he happened to be a Baptist pastor, but he was paralyzed and he couldn't preach anymore. And I used to say, when I first met him, God, this man is godly and holy and righteous, and he's a servant of yours, and he's given of himself, and he's giving himself to prayer. And God, can't you heal him? God was always silent when I would be telling him what to do. And you know what? That man never got well, but what he did for me was absolutely immeasurable. He'd call me and tell me, well, I heard the sermon, or I watched the sermon, just keep it up, and I'm praying for you, and on and on and on he would go, and I knew he was listening carefully. What I thought was a disaster, that he couldn't get out of the bed. In his mind, he knew it wasn't a disaster. He knew that God had placed him there for a reason. And I never heard him complain and moan and groan, well, I've pastored and served the Lord all these years. Now look at me, where I am. Where is this loving God? We get in God's way when we want to change things that are not changeable in the eyes of God. Because they don't fit our purpose and our plan, they fit His plan. A third reason we get in God's way is this. Sometimes we're ignorant of God's ways, and certainly Peter was ignorant of God's ways because he doesn't think the way we think. If you'll think about this, every single act of God, remember, He's omniscient. He already knows the end result. And so because He knows the end result, He will guide us in ways that at the moment we don't think could possibly be the right way because they don't fit our thought patterns and what we think Christian life ought to be like and what we think the love of God ought to be like. And so what happens, we find ourselves, because we don't understand His ways, thinking like Peter. Well, that's not going to happen. Well, God would never let that happen. Pain, suffering, heartache, disappointment, mistreatment, you name it. Sometimes that is God's way. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Because watch this. Not only is God always interested in what He's doing in our life and through our life, He's interested in the result of what it's making out of us. What's His plan for you? In other words, God has a plan for everybody's life. So when we start making decisions about life, we have to ask ourselves the question, is this a decision based on human reasoning? Or is it based on the will of God and how God works? And I think any one of us would say, I want God's way in my life. Well, it may not be what you expect. You still want God's way? Oh, yes. And then when the pain comes, the disappointment and the heartache and the separation and the loss and so forth, then sometimes we want to change our minds and say, no, that's not what I'm looking for in life. Let me just say this to you. There is no better way than God's way. There is no wiser walk than a walk in the wisdom of Almighty God. There is no greater blessing that can come your way than the blessing that is the result of your obedience to Him. And sometimes because we don't understand, we make decisions that we wish later on we had not, because it appeared at the moment not to be the right thing. What do you think Peter would have said after the resurrection? Here's what he would have said. Thank you, God, you didn't listen to me. Because, and remember, who is it that God chose to preach at Pentecost? Peter. He didn't understand everything. But ultimately, each time he yielded, he surrendered. So we can make mistakes and repent of them, which all of us have done and will do till the day he calls us home. The issue is, am I willing to walk in God's plan? I may not understand it. I may see it painful. I may see it hurtful. I may see it pleasurable. I may see it profitable. It may mean loss. But am I willing to walk in his way? If I'm willing to do it his way, all of these things will be a part of it. And then, of course, sometimes we are prompted by our sincere devotion and loyalty to somebody who's hurting and suffering. And because we are, and because they hurt. And I admit, it's difficult for me to see people hurt. I want to fix it. Whatever the situation is, I want to fix it. Now, when do you think I want to fix it? Right now. If you're sick, I want you to be healed right now. If you're at loss of something, I want you to find it now. If you're going through some difficult emotional problem, let's get it taken care of now. That isn't God's way. So we can't operate on the natural, what we naturally want. We have to operate on what's the will of God. And I've had to say to some people, you know what? You're right in the center of the will of God. Now, you don't think you are because you're hurting. You don't think you are because you're being persecuted. You don't think you are because your parents this and so forth. In other words, sometimes it looks that way. But listen, if we have a godly eye and we look beyond what is evident, that what's on the other side of that, how many times Peter would have said, oh, I see. Now I see. Now I see what it's all about. How many times he must have said something of that sort when after the crucifixion, the resurrection, Pentecost, and the church began to grow, he got thrown in jail. And, you know, he was worried about Jesus being crucified, and he got thrown in jail, and they were praising the Lord. When you and I are in the center of the will of God, and we know we are, there is a joy, there is a sense of confidence, there is a sense of assurance that we are walking in the right way. God gives that kind of assurance. Now, I want you to remember this phrase. The phrase is protective love. Every parent should have that. And the truth is, we should have that as friends. If I see you heading in the wrong direction, I'm going to do my best to catch up with you and say, look, this is the reason this is not the right direction. And I'm pleading with you to turn around and go the other way. We all should have a protective love. But sometimes that protective love can get in the way, especially in the life of parents and children. And because we see dangers or we see things that look like it would cause them hurt, we can't. When you love somebody, you don't want to see them hurt. When I love somebody, I don't want to see them hurt. And when I see people being hurt, I hurt. And I don't want to see them not hurt, so I won't hurt. I don't want to see them hurt because I care for them, whoever it is, no matter what's going on in their life. But you can't operate that way. What is the will of God? If God knows that for this person it's pain, hardship, suffering, disappointment, rejection, if that's part of him creating this person whom he can use, then it has to be that way. So we can get in God's way. Listen, naturally, we can get in God's way sincerely. We can get in God's way because we want the best for somebody. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what's God thinking? What does God have in mind for that person and what's going on in their life? So if you're one of those persons who's going through that, you ask yourself the question, God, why are you doing this in this person's life or that? Why is not really the question. The issue is this. God, keep them faithful. Keep them humble. Keep them submissive to your will. Lord, give them the faith to endure this until you've accomplished what you want to accomplish in life. Then I think about we have a strong tendency to take up somebody else's offense, for example. If I have a friend, and all of us have friends, if I see a friend, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a friend, I see someone being misused, misinterpreted, and all the rest, then I want to take up for them. And if I want to take up for them, I have to be careful. In order to protect them, I have to be careful that my love for them is not this protected love, because I don't want to see them hurt and suffer, that I'm willing to get in God's way. Now watch this. Listen carefully. When you get in God's way with what He's doing in someone else's life, you're headed for trouble. Now watch this. You have to look this way. Are you looking? Say amen.
Amen.
Listen, if God is working in a person's life here, and I decide that's not the best thing to do, I'm going to handle this. Now who's getting the pressure? If I get between what God is doing in somebody else's life, I get the pressure. I can tell you that because I've been there. When you begin to interfere with something, sincere as you want to be, you just think this is the best thing for them, you get between them and God, you get the pressure. That's why it's unwise, and we have to be careful that we don't get in God's way. Because when we do, God has to deal with us so He can deal with them. Then I would say one last thing. We often interfere because of our selfishness and our self-serving. And I think about Peter and his attempt to do so many things that were not right. And yet, what did God do? Think about this. God was very, very patient with Peter. What do you think the worst thing that Peter did? The worst thing that Peter did was something he never forgot. When they're on their way to whip him and beat him and prepare him for the cross, and Jesus passed by, and he said, "I don't know him." You're talking about a memory that would haunt me forever. I don't know this man. Have you ever denied him? Have you ever said, "No, I'm not a Christian"? Have you ever denied that you were a follower of Jesus? I don't believe he ever forgot it. I'm not sure he ever got over it. That the very Christ who was dying for his sins, he looked at him in the moment when he needed him the most and said, "I don't know him." And so you ask yourself the question, are you living in the center of God's will, or are you worried about somebody else's will? Are you willing for God to sift and sand and chisel and till He's got you the way He wants you? Are you willing to see other people sifted and sanded and chiseled till God gets them where they are to be in life? We can't rescue everybody. We have to trust God to work in their lives to fit them to do and to accomplish what He has in mind. So we can all get in God's way. We don't want to do that. And remember this. If this is your problem here, and I get between you and God, I suffer the consequences. You know what? God will remove that at some point in some way. That's why we have to be careful. You may not be a Christian, and you're saying, "Well, how does all that work in my life?" I'll tell you how. First of all, God is going to work to bring you to the end of yourself, that you'll trust Him as your personal Savior. So you see, you may be doing really well today, but you're out of God's will. Never trusted Him as your Savior. You've been sufficient. You've got enough money and enough this, that, and the other that you don't need God. Yes, you do. Because you see, you've been told the wrong thing. And you have believed a lie. Because when it comes to death, the only thing that you need is Jesus. And you can have everything but Him and you'll be lost forever. And you cannot change that principle. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. And I trust that you'll be wise enough to realize whatever other decisions in life you've made and wherever it's led you, the one decision above all the rest is, have I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? And that's my prayer that you would. And Father, we thank you this morning that you love us enough to understand our fallacies and our faults. You understand us enough to forgive us and love us, even in spite of our mistakes. And thank you for the wonderful example of the Apostle Peter, because so many of us oftentimes act like he acted, and yet we at the same time want to be used like he was used. Give us the wisdom to ask what is the truth, and give us the courage to act on that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you've been blessed by today's program, please visit us at intouch.org. In Touch, leading people worldwide into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and strengthening the local church. This program is sponsored by In Touch Ministries and is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.